And read a few verses from the Word. We'd like you to read these with us if you're able. Amen. I'm looking at an Old Testament scripture from Psalms number 51. Very familiar psalm. Psalm of David. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take the first six verses and then take a look in the New Testament at 1 Peter 1:13 through 21. Amen. Right. So let's take a look here at Psalms 51. Let us read. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. That's the psalmist David. And now for the blessing to you who have read the Old Covenant Word, let us read the New Testament scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if he call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
Passage from the Apostle Peter. You might be seated in the sanctuary. We're going to look at a topic today, showing love to the wounded children. Amen. Showing love to the wounded children. Amen. You may wonder who these children are. And we're going to develop that just a bit here. I want you to understand that it's a wonderful thing when we consider our relationship to God. And as we've said, we've been saying this throughout our series, that God could have said, call him a number of things. Because he is so many things to us when you think it through. He could have said, call on me as your master and your creator. He could have said, call on me as your judge. Call on me as your provider. He could have said any of this. But when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? Teach us how to pray. He said, pray our Father. So that blows my mind right there. I have to stop right there and take that in. I don't know what that does for you. But he could have said a number of things and all of them would have been true. Because he is all that. He is the omnipotent creator. He is the great I am. He could have asked for any of these ways to approach him. But what he said is, call me your Father. Now to me, that's just humbling. I don't know how you think about it. But it's a wonderful thing that out of all the things that we might have called God, when we asked God, who was in the flesh, how should we pray? Teach us to pray. He said, say this first, our Father, who art in heaven, and hallow his name. You see? And so that right there lets us see that the relationship that he wants with me and you is that of the Father and the child. Amen. Now, let's talk about about what David's predicament is here as we take a look at Psalm number 51. David has come out of a time of having gotten his mind hung up in the flesh. And of course, you know, we talked about this in the new member class this morning. Sometimes it's not always the devil who's bringing you down. Sometimes it's me. My own flesh, my own mind will take me on a tangent off of the track where God has me going. And so David got hung up in a situation. The Bible says about David that he is a man after God's own heart. In other words, no matter what David did, God was always in his mind. And you know what? It's kind of impossible for you to go too far off the track when you belong to God. If you have chosen God to be your Father, your Heavenly Father, he will keep his mind, he will keep your mind focused on him for the most part. But y'all know how we do. Now, we can talk in here, I believe, this morning. Sometimes we allow situations and circumstances in our lives and other things that are dangling out there to draw us out. And we end up not thinking about God for a time while we indulge ourselves in some things that may not be so good. David was not unlike you and me. He slipped into a situation, and he should have been out. The Bible says it's the time when the kings go out to war, but David stayed at home.
Yes, he did.
And he was up in the palace looking over the kingdom. And sometimes we do that. We get comfortable sometimes. When God has called you to do something, it's easy to get comfortable and get off your pins and get your focus shifted into something that you shouldn't be dealing with. And you know what happened as the story goes. Some of you may not know. He slipped up and looked over and saw somebody else's wife taking a bath. And of all things, her name was Bathsheba. That always got me too. Like, okay, you're taking a bath and your name is Bathsheba. Okay. But the fact is, he got hung up in that, and then the moment it just overtook his mind, and next thing you know, he abused his power and sent and had messengers bring her over to his place. And so therefore, you know what happened from there. It spirals downhill from that point. But it goes all the way to the point of her being with child before you know it. And then the fact is, her husband is at war doing what David should have been doing. And so he ends up having him taken out of the picture. He had to put to death, so to speak, by putting him right on the front line of battle. And so it took somebody else to get in David's face and have him understand how far you have fallen away. And David goes back now in his repentant state when he realizes what he did after one of his friends. Sometimes, you know, you need a friend to come and say something to you, to set you straight, to get you back in order with where you're supposed to be. Now, I've had some friends come to me. Sometimes friends don't want to. Some people rather talk about you and scandalize your name rather than come in your face and say, hey, look, pull you to the side and let me give you some advice or explain what's going on here. And so the fact is, David had a friend named Nathan. And Nathan the prophet saw what was going on like everybody else did in the kingdom. But rather than him going around talking about him, he went and got in David's face and said, David, let me explain something to you. And he gave him a parable about a rich man that had everything and all kinds of stuff. And then he had everything he ever could hope for and even more. And then he told him about a poor man who basically lived right behind the rich man and had only one ewe lamb in his whole thing. That's a female lamb, and it was not a lamb that he was going to eat or anything. He was a pet to the family. And he said the rich man had company, and he told his servants to go get that poor man's lamb, bring it over here and dress it so we can eat dinner. And when he said that, David said, oh, that man is evil. That man ought to be put to death. And then Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, David, you are the man. And so he helped him to see, you've gotten off the track. When David saw it, he became greatly remorseful because he knew it was true. When you get off the track, realize God wants you back on the track. And he has never left you. The fact is, we left him when we step out of the way. So David knew what to do because he was a man after God's own heart. He cried out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love and kindness, according unto the up the multitude of thy tender mercies. Mm-hmm. Blot out my transgressions. Mm-hmm. Now the word transgression means that we knew something was wrong and did it anyway. Yep. It's kind of a different word than the word iniquity. Iniquity, he's going to use that too in this same passage. But he says, blot out my transgressions. That's what the word says when it says, to him who knows to do right and doeth it not. To him it is sin. That's transgression. You knew better. You knew it was wrong. You did it anyway. You see? And we're not here to discuss all that. I know that kind of gets us all in a state of, we kind of get stupefied when we hear that. But I want you to see something here because we're going somewhere. Stay with me. Understand this, that David loved God.
Yes, he did.
We love God.
Yes, we do.
But sometimes our circumstances will pull us off the track and get us going away we shouldn't be going. And so it's good if you have friends that are also in the Lord who can pull your coattail or call you rather than gossiping behind your back. I'm going to get in your face and say, hey, look here, let me help you with this. In private, so I don't have to try to shame you or nothing. That's not my point. My point is I want to come to you in a way that will help you get straightened out. So Nathan helped David, and David went immediately into repentance. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. See, because who can do that? No one can forgive sin but God alone. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Now the word iniquity, we got two of the words here. Transgressions is when I willfully disobey what I know to be right. I know it's right. That's like I drew a line. Like, you know that happens. Somebody say, I dare you to step over that line. And just because they said it, you step. Like, now, sucker, what you gonna do now? That's the way we get sometimes. So basically, David knew he crossed the line. But then he says, watch me thoroughly for mine iniquity. That's a different word. Iniquity is that inborn proclivity that we have to do the wrong thing. That's why we need to be saved, because we have a tendency not to do the right thing.
Right.
It's not willfully knowing what's wrong. It's just that if we don't get the information we need, we step into some stuff that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a tendency, we're kind of drawn toward doing something that's not right from within. And cleanse me from my sin, he says in verse 2. For I acknowledge my transgressions. You see, he's being really truthful with God.
Yeah.
And my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, you are right, God. I'm not right.
Yes.
Something's not right with me. It's a confession, if you will,
amen,
to the Most High God. And I'm glad this is in the Bible.
Yes.
Because it helps me see that when you have gone somewhere out of the way, God is willing to restore you.
Yes.
He is willing to forgive you.
Wow.
He is willing to cleanse you. Why? Because he is your heavenly Father.
Yes.
See, and so David goes on, and this is what he says here. This is some revealing things that have to do with how we can show love to the wounded children. And we still haven't defined them. We're going to do that. Stand with me here just a minute. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified. In other words, you are right, God. What you say, your teaching is right. Your word is right. The truth that you tell me is right, and it's good, and it's holy, that you may be clear when you judge. I'm not blaming you for anything. Sometimes people blame God when they go through trouble. David says, I'm not blaming you for anything, God. It's me. I'm the one. And then he gives a reason here in verse 5, and this is where I want you to tune in a little bit. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity.
Yes.
And in sin did my mother conceive me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know what? I have that inborn propensity to do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came to me from my mother and my father.
Mm-hmm.
I was wounded from the womb, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem from the womb. All of us. It's not just David. Everyone who is born in the world has that inbuilt iniquity. Some people think you get bad later on. But anybody who's raised kids, you know, they come here bad. If you raise any, they come here, they don't have to say a word, but they sure do know how to tell a lie, don't they? They don't say a word, but at 3 in the morning, it's time for you to get up, because I need you to do something for me right now. I'm in here about to die. That's how the kids feel. They don't say that, but they won't let you get no sleep, will they? Some of your parents know about this. Maybe some of y'all haven't had no kids, so I can't get no amens in here for this. But when they in there breaking all up, you know the problem? My diaper is wet. Not a big deal. You just come here that way. I got to break up whatever you're doing so you can come see about me. I'm the only one that's important. We come here wounded like that. You don't have to teach a kid to say no. And that's first word we learn most of them. No! You know, we got that no all down in our spirit. You know, and so they come here with that already built in. And you have to teach them not to do that kind of thing. You have to teach them out of it. And that's what good parenting is about, is to break up that cycle of inborn iniquity and teach people to do the right thing. You see? And so David is saying this. He says, we have that flaw built into our very existence. It's a part of my makeup. It's a part of my frame. And it runs deep within me. He says, but sometimes when you learn to do right, that's what James says, to him that knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, once you learn the right thing and you decide not to do it, then that's what makes it a transgression. Because you cross a line now that you knew better. And so David is putting all this out for God to forgive him. Why? Because he knows God is my heavenly Father.
Yes.
He knows that God knows that when sin entered into the world, it entered into every human being that was born. There's only one exception in all of the scripture of a person born without sin, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only one came into the world, born like you and I did, who picked up no iniquity from his parents. But David knew it. He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God teaches wisdom.
Amen.
See, wisdom is beyond knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom is when knowledge is applied to the glory of God. And God is glorified by our true wisdom. See, James says there's different types of wisdom. He said the wisdom of that comes from above is peaceable, and it has characteristics of righteousness and gives glory to God. People think they're wise a lot of times. We got a lot of folk on earth who think they have wisdom. See, and they're operating not for God's glory, but for their own benefit. And so true wisdom is when knowledge is applied and the glory is to God. And so when God gets the glory, that's when there is actually the execution of true wisdom. So to make a long story short, all of us, everybody born, is somewhat of a wounded child. You know, think about some of the stuff you went through coming up. And you can't blame your parents. A lot of times today, we do want to blame the parents. If my dad hadn't done this, or if my mother hadn't done that. And we want to look and blame them. But the fact is, we all have something that's broken. So realizing you have something in your makeup that's broken, and you're going to pass that on to your own kids, if you have any, that's what it means to be a wounded child. David got into some of that stuff because he thought he could get away with it. He thought it would be fun, all the same kind of stuff. We think when we cross the line, when we know something that we've been taught, and we violate it anyway. But let's talk about, what do you do about it? What's the solution to how I can be a wounded child and not end up as a castaway? That's what we need to talk about just for a few minutes today. Amen. Everybody has an issue. Only one came in the world born of a woman who had no sin. And we'll talk about him in just a minute. Now, all we have to do is see that in the beginning, there can be no doubt that God, our Creator, displayed tremendous love toward mankind, and that everything he had made, he placed under the dominion of Adam and Eve,
who were the pinnacle of his creation. He waited till he made everything and said it's good and very good. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And after our likeness, Genesis 1:26. So even then you could see that Adam and Eve were the focal point of God's love. I love you so much, I made all of this, the heavens and the earth, and I put you over it. I put you in charge of it. See, because his love was very deep, a very deep thing.
Oh, yes.
Look at the value of the earth. Can you put a dollar value on it? No, you can't. It just continues to yield everything that all the people that it generates can produce throughout all the lifetimes of everybody. And people covet it and hoard it and stack it up and all of that. And they don't realize it's a gift from God that he gives you to allow you to glorify him. If you live it right, you understand I need to give God glory with whatever I'm doing. So it was not on God's part that this was a problem. He made man in his own image. It was the focal point of his great love, which is a very deep thing. But after the fall, once man disobeyed God, God's beautiful love for them became distorted in their minds, even though God himself never changed.
Amen.
This is some kind of thing you need to understand. God does not change, never did. Man changed, God did not change. That's a great thing.
Amen.
Now, if the Bible says God is love, which it does in 1 John chapter 4 and a number of other places, that means he has always been and always will be. Anything that's true of God never changes. So God is not sitting up there fluctuating because we are. Because we're going through changes. And he knows that all the people in the world are wounded from birth. We come in the world with problems and sometimes it can get worse. But if we learn the right stuff and realize who God is, then we can continue on and realize that he loves us in spite of anything that we're dealing with.
Amen.
He can fix anything you're going through.
Amen.
He knows what you're going through. And it's not his desire that iniquity and sin came into the world. So he's been the defender trying to help wounded children to get on the right track.
Yes.
And that's what he does. The good news is that many of them do. And he sends the ones who do out to minister to the ones who don't. Because he's concerned about the whole group.
Amen.
And so we have to understand that if you have been saved, that means you put your trust in God through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who he allowed to be there to bridge the gap between whatever is wrong with me and however holy he is. That's what Jesus does for you.
Amen.
And all you do is trust him and believe him.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Amen. David understood that, even though he got off track. He turned around and he repented and confessed it to God. God restored him. Later on in the psalm, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. He knew that God had the ability to put him back into a place where he was right again with God and his account was clean and straight. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Yes.
Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Mm-hmm. David knew God is able to do that.
Oh, yes, he is.
He didn't change, I did.
Amen.
And if I keep trusting him, he can restore me.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes.
So Peter gives us a prescription here that I wanted to give you that will help you in this process.
Yes.
How do we help these wounded children to get right? Even if it's me first. It will be me. I got to get me right first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I can also help somebody else along the way.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, he says it starts off in a mental process. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, we don't understand that kind of language. When they used to gird up their loins, it means, you know, they wore these long robes that went all the way down to their sandals. To gird up your loins meant to reach between and pull the cinch up the back of your robe into your belt. So it almost looked like baggy pants. You see those baggy looking pants like MC Hammer. Kind of look like him. Some of y'all might relate to that. And that's to gird up your loins. In other words, you're covering up
up in between, and you're making yourself ready so you don't get tripped up in this gown. If I gotta go, I want to be able to move quick
and move in the right direction. So that was the process that they did, called girding up your loins. But now notice, Peter's not talking about physical. He says gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind ready to run this race that God has put you on. He said be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know what? When we go into the presence of God, we will still need grace.
Right.
It's almost sad in one sense that we're so wounded that we don't ever get completely where we're above sin. People teach that though today. And you know why you don't? Is because we don't even know everything that is sin.
Right.
And some stuff, sin is sin of omission, that means I don't do what I should do. And there are also sins of commission, which means I do things that I should not do. And then I don't understand everything that God said, so I don't even know everything. So there's some stuff I'm ignorant about. And then there's other stuff I know, and then I violate it anyway. So there's different ways we can get out of sync because we are wounded from birth. David recognized that, but that doesn't mean we should be sad.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said stuff like, let not your hearts be troubled.
Right.
You believe in God, believe also in me. Realize I have covered you for everything. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter how wounded you were, I am your healing. I am your source of completeness and wholeness.
Amen.
If you trust in me, I'll make you whole.
Yeah.
Just by faith alone. And you will still need grace on the day you check out.
Amen.
Or the day that the Lord returns. He can return at any moment.
Amen.
I'm going to need grace just as much then as I did when I didn't even know him.
Right.
See, and he says, fix your mind on that. Gird up your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Jesus returns, he's coming back, the Bible says. He said he's going to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Yeah.
See, so I'm coming back to get you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you go and teach all the nations.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I know you are wounded children, but there's some others that are more wounded than you because they don't know the solution to the problem.
Right.
You know the solution.
Yeah.
You understand you have accepted Christ to be your Savior. So you have been healed in that sense, and now you have also been dispatched to share the healing with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter says, get your mind ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice verse 14, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, when you didn't know that God is able to heal the wounded children. Don't dwell in the past and go follow your gut impulses. But he says you got to change your perspective. Set your mind on things above, Paul told the Colossians. Not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, you have a new life. God has taken that old life. You have been crucified with Christ, Paul says, Galatians 2:21. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, so Jesus got between God's judgment and his wrath for you, if you trust in him.
Amen.
He absorbed all the judgment that God was going to send to you or me.
Yeah.
See, and he took it in his body on the tree. Now notice what Peter goes on to say. But he says, verse 15, as he which hath called you is holy, see, so be ye holy in all manner of, King James's conversation, that could be behavior.
Mm-hmm.
See, in all your behavior, be holy. We're being instructed. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call, if ye, that means all y'all, y'all know how I like to translate that King James, ye, call on the Father, who without respect of persons, in other words, nobody impresses God, nobody has a higher ability to be in God's presence than anyone else. You know, it doesn't make any difference if you're Trump or Chump. When you stand before God, the level, the ground is level.
Amen.
Makes no difference. No big I's and little U's. God loves everybody the same. But you better understand him. When you come there, realize I'm just because I'm mighty here doesn't mean when I get in front of you that I'm going to have an advantage. Because why? All of the children are wounded. And so God's love is equal to everybody. See? So Peter says when you see him, you need to have this all in your mind. So get your mind ready for it. Because if you call on the Father who without respect of persons, that means nobody has any better advantage than you, he judgeth according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. See, in other words, that doesn't mean be scared. In other words, to understand that God doesn't see anybody as any more or less than you. He judges everyone equally. See, and he loves everyone equally. See, that's why he did what he did. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Then we can wrap up our thoughts. But he says, realize what God did. He loved you so much. God the Son said before anything was ever made, think about this, before any sin ever happened, I'm going to redeem them because he already knew what was going to happen. See, the devil didn't surprise God when he tricked Eve. God was not surprised. He didn't surprise God when he took a third of the heavenly hosts and turned them into demons, brought them out under his deception. God was not surprised. See, and so God has never been surprised with any iniquity or any confusion or any of that. Or any sin, and he still loves you exactly like you are. Why? Because he never changed. He created you to love on you. Did you know that? You were created to be loved on by God. And if you don't love him back, that's because you have an issue. It's not on his end. He gave his son. Allowed his son to come into the world through a virgin. Therefore, he had no sin. Think about that. Well, that's awesome to me. He prepared the way when he made Eve to bring his son into the world with no sin. And he was born of a virgin. That means he had none of Adam's blood in his veins. And he was able to occupy the world for a space of 33 and a half years. And to show people the love of God in the flesh. It wasn't just enough to write a book on it. And put my book in the world. God did that too. But I'm going to flesh out my promises. That's why the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. When they saw him, they knew they were dealing with God. There's no question about it. Nicodemus came by night, the Bible says in John 3. Said, teacher, we know you are a man come from God. Because no one can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus knew what he was thinking in his heart. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's why you're wounded, because you're born of the flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Yes.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, born from above. All you do to be born from above is trust that God loves you, gave his son for you.
Hallelujah.
In order that you might know that he loves you. Because he realizes there's nothing that we could do ourselves to make ourselves clean in his sight. This is why the gospel is such a beautiful thing. Because he knows all the children are wounded with sin from the womb. But I have loved them and I have never changed. So he'd already planned this before time began. So Peter's saying, get yourself together, set your mind like this so that you can understand. Notice verse 18, he says here, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of life, some translations say. This one says conversation received by tradition of your from your fathers. See that? He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, notice this phrase in verse 20, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See that? So God knew before he made anything that I'm going to send my son. Even before the devil was created. Put that in your mind. Before the devil was created and God knew he would fall. See, and corrupt and wound all the children that would be born. Think about it. But even before that, I had set my love on you. If you believe.
Yes.
That's why Ephesians 1:4 says he chose us in him from the foundation of the world.
Yes. Right.
That we should be holy and unblameable before him in love, mm-hmm. having predestined us to adoption as children.
Mm-hmm.
What does God do about the fact that we are wounded children? You know what he does? I adopt you out of the human family into my family.
My family. Yeah.
And I sent my son to pay the bill.
Yes.
And guess what happened to his son as we bring our thoughts to a close? Yeah. Notice what Peter says, who by him, speaking of Christ, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead,
mm-hmm.
and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
The whole epic of the cross,
mm-hmm.
Jesus crucified, spit up on, wounded yeah. for your transgressions, yeah. bruised for your iniquity,
yeah.
chastised for your peace.
Mama.
That was God pouring his judgment yeah. on his own son, so he doesn't have to pour it on you.
Yeah.
And he allowed everything to come up on him that would
yeah.
come up on you,
yes.
including death.
Yes.
Who he tasted death for every man
yes.
and was laid in a borrowed tomb.
Yes.
It's amazing when you only have to borrow a tomb. Think about it. I'm going to borrow the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights.
Yeah.
And I always said on one end of Jesus' life, he borrowed a womb.
Yeah.
On the other end, he borrowed a tomb.
Yeah.
And then he got up with all power and I have defeated everything that'll ever be a problem for these wounded children in the world, because I love them just like they are. See, nobody else could do that, plan that, design that, and execute all of that but the Lord. And what you need to know is he did it for you. And if you trust him, that's why it says you do believe in God, because you will give him the glory, because he raised the son from the dead, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now understand this, and we're about done. I'm going to try to get you out here a little early since it's kind of a little hot. It's going to be hotter somewhere else, but we will make sure you know what's up. Realizing that we are all alike, we are all wounded children.
Yes.
Everyone, just like wounded children, as a result of the severe impact of our fallen nature, as did King David. David had the same situation. After he had been through a long season of sin, which he allowed to skew his judgment and to commit serious transgression against God. When he needed a friend, when he needed a friend known as Nathan,
yes.
the prophet, to speak that parable that he did from the Spirit of God to allow him to see for himself the depth of his depravity. That's what David overlooked. And cry out for mercy and for cleansing from his father, his loving father. And this is a process that we all need in order to make spiritual progress
Amen.
On our journey in this life.
Yes.
And that's why Peter gave these instructions. The Apostle Peter reminds us of our needs to make biblical mental preparation.
Yes.
Prepare your mind is what he's saying.
Yes.
See, because you're dealing with a bunch of wounded children everywhere, all around you. Yourself and everybody else, except you have already applied the fix to your life if you trust in Christ. He says here that we need to be focused on the hope that God has provided for his wounded children, knowing that we shall still require grace, which God has provided by the way of his wounded son, Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that through his stripes we are healed from the works of the devil that runs deep within the fallen human soul and can only be purified by a Savior equal in righteousness to God.
Amen.
Think about that. So he knew that. No, nobody else could offer what was required.
Nobody.
And who was also defeated, even he has defeated the last enemy the Son of God has, which is death, by his resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
So he took care of everything.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he did. He didn't leave anything out.
Amen.
And the whole story is written in the Word.
Yes.
And he loves you.
Yes.
He knows that you're wounded, just like me.
Yes.
We all got issues.
Yes.
Somebody said,
Think about it. We have issues. He knows what we're dealing with. And he already has set up a pardon, a complete pardon for everyone. So if you're not saved after today, guess whose fault it is? It's your fault. If you don't accept the free gift, God has given his son, and he wants you to know it. And he's fixing the rest of us. All of us are wounded and broken. We all have issues. You know what? I got less issues than I used to have, but I still got some I don't like. And if you want God to fix it, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. So we want to thank God for you all coming out. Amen. Trust in the Lord. The Proverbs writer says, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes you hear stuff from the Word and you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, he said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll make your path straight. He'll show you how to get where you need to be. So he's given you victory over some stuff, and he wants to finish the work. He who began a good work in you, Paul says, will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, he started it. If he began the work, he's going to finish it. So you can trust in the Lord, and you'll realize that he will finish that work. Turn it over to him. Don't think a lot of times the devil will use discouragement, because I know you got issues. But God knew you had issues too. And I fixed it already. So get your mind girded up for moving forward in Christ. Amen. So if you're here today and you have not trusted God to be your personal Savior, we extend that to you right now. He has accepted you, I want to let you know. He accepts you just like you are. You don't have to change anything because he already knows how you are. And he knows where he's taking you and where he wants you to be. But he won't force you to go. If you're saved, it's going to be because you select him. See, you have to, by your own free will, realize that I need him. And know that God has provided him and he loves you just like you are. And if you want to be fixed, he can fix you. And you know what? Really, technically, when you come, you get fixed immediately. Everything may not go away all at once, and it doesn't. Some people will tell you that, but I don't want to give you a false story. The fact is, he accepts you because Christ's work is complete. I gave him so you could come with him, just like you are. And he's taking care of everything that it costs to get you completely straight. And if you keep walking with me, you'll get straight. That's what he said. He can fix it. Doesn't make any difference what it is. We live in a very odd culture today. And I'm going to say this in these last few minutes. The culture is trying to turn everything upside down. And the Bible says, woe unto him who calls good evil and evil good. Woe unto you. See? And people now, that's where we are. We've arrived at that time. But you can escape the judgment, because we don't know when it will be. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That doesn't say when, but it says how he's coming. Next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. And if you trust him, you're already prepared. If you're willing to confess him before man, he says, I am willing also to confess you before my Father who is in heaven. See, so are you ashamed of him or are you happy about him? See, I embrace what he offers for me. I need it. Because I know I'm wounded. And I need some help. See, and I'm not too proud to say I need some help. Just like David, he said, Behold, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And you are the forgiver, and I know, Lord, that you will forgive me, and I'm crying out to you. Wash me thoroughly. See, and you know what? David straightened that act up. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything else wrong, but he got that one fixed. You see? And he'll fix whatever one you're dealing with. Anything you're going through right now, you can put it in his hands, and he will take care of it. So we're going to ask you right now, if you want to come to Jesus. Come,